Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, Michael. let's just open up in prayer. And you know, it's funny. We can do a lot of things just by rote. We do it all the time. We just kind of, oh, Lord, you know, we're going to pray. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to increase his presence. We're going to quiet our hearts. Maybe even take a deep breath. There's tons of science coming out right now, the power of your breathing and taking deep breaths and really being able to be present. And why does it matter to be present? Why does it matter to kind of still your mind? Because it allows you to be more aware of God. It allows you to be more keyed in to what he's doing, what he's saying. So, Father, we just welcome you in just even a greater measure right now. I know there's not a person here who is just going through the motions. Every one of us desires to follow you, to grow. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. We ask that this would be a time of ears being opened by your Holy Spirit, eyes being opened by your Holy Spirit. And just pray your blessing upon your word and upon your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So before I tell you the title of the message, it was interesting as I was worshiping, I had a sense from God. Is this a little too close? Just what, you know, so there's principles, there's truths, but there's also kind of a general, I don't even know how to describe it other than I just saw the Lord wanting to lift a heavy thing off of us. And not necessarily as a congregation, I mean as individuals. That's what I sensed. And so, although the message may be a little uncomfortable because I'm talking about being uncomfortable, I think it actually is going to release because it's going to cause some things to make sense. Like, oh. And so, anyways, my expectation is that the Holy Spirit's going to lift some things, some heaviness around some areas in our lives. And there's going to be some liberty and a sense of freedom. And so the title of the message is Learning to Love Being Uncomfortable. And all of those words are very, you know, have a lot of meaning. So it's learning to love being uncomfortable because what's natural for us is to want to be what? Comfortable. We love being comfortable. That's what we desire. That's what we look for. That's what we want. So just a couple random quick facts. America has now about, statistically, about 20% of adults are binge drinkers. So do you know what a binge drinker is? A binge drinker is defined, literally, of a definition. The definition of a binge drinker is someone who drinks at least 5 drinks within 2 hours on a somewhat regular basis. Now, I was in a fraternity, so I know what, you know, drinking a lot of beers or drinks in a short amount of time does. It puts you in a different state, right? Well, what is that state all about? Exactly, being comfortable, right? It's about being able to let go of whatever it is that you're holding on to, feeling bad about. So that's one thing. Do you know the average? And I know a lot of this stuff we all know, but if you think about what it actually is tied to, the average adult watches 4 hours of television a day. So if you think about that, and the person who was, actually this was AC Nielsen Company, the average American watches up to 4 hours a day. That's 28 hours a week. I mean, it's almost a full-time job. Wow. It's 2 months of non-stop TV watching per year. And it's in a 65-year lifespan, that person will have spent 9 years glued to their television. So this puts it in perspective. It's like, wow, that's massive. But what is it about? And every one of us, including myself, is comforted by television. You're tired. You've come home. It's been a long day, stressful day. It is nice to grab the beer, grab the remote, click it on, right? Tip it back, watch it. I mean, it's just, and not that either of those things in and of themselves are bad. But it's what are we, is it comfort we're pursuing? A classic phrase, it's like the mantra of the millennials, I'm not feeling it. Anyone familiar with that statement? You ask somebody, you know, I'm just not feeling it. I'm just not feeling, you know, it's classic. And I get it. Sometimes it's an appropriate thing to say, but usually it's not. Usually it's just kind of a bogus. Anyways, I won't go there, but that's all about comfort. I'm not feeling it. That makes me feel uncomfortable. Therefore, I'm not feeling it. One last thing I want to say. I'm just trying to kind of unpack just our longing to be comforted, our longing for comfort. Retiring, right? Everyone's shooting for that. I want to retire at 50. You're like the boss if you retire at 50. Wow, right? Well, there's tons of stuff coming out now that the earlier you retire, the sooner you die. I mean, it's just so counter, you know, against everything we're talking about. So let me do the real math for you. If you retire at 55, and this is Harvard research, and this is not just some random guy blogging, right? If you retire at 55, your chances of dying by the time you're 65 in the next 10 years are 80% higher than the person who doesn't retire until they're 65, meaning you have 10 more years. So see if I can explain this easily. At 55, if you retire, that's like, wow, but you're going to die by the time you're 65. If you wait and retire at 65, you're going to live more than 10 years, and so you actually get more life on the earth, which is totally counter to what we think. Oh, I want to retire and kick back. It's going to be great. The number of men who have heart attacks within the first, I couldn't find the statistic to put it up there, but it's a very high statistic of the number of men who have heart attacks within the first 2 years of retiring. It's just off the charts. It's very bizarre. I bet you know someone who's either had a stroke or a heart attack within 2 years of retiring. It happens all the time. What I want to say about it is we all have a desire for comfort, every one of us in this room, but what we don't know, what we haven't really thought about is how dangerous comfort is. In the comfort zone and living in the comfort zone, it keeps us absolutely stuck, stagnant, at a level that's just maybe okay, but that's all. And so what we have to start doing is retraining our understanding of life, both the principles of the kingdom and just life as it is, so that we start getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. So I brought this. Anybody know what this is? It's a foam roller. If you've ever used a foam roller, it epitomizes discomfort. It is maybe one of the most uncomfortable things you can do to your thighs or if you have calves, or it's so painful. But I have jumper's knee. I got jumper's knee about a week ago, and jumper's knee is very painful, and I just didn't know what to do about it, and my massage therapist was busy, and da-da-da. And then my mom reminded me about the foam roller. I foam rolled, I mean, just painful, painful, painful. As a result of foam rolling, I was able to go back to my workout class that same day. So, again, what's the point? The discomfort of this allowed me to step into some physical freedom with my knee. Working out. I love working out. In fact, I pay to work out. I go to this class. You have to pay like 10 bucks. I try to go like 3 times a week. So I'm paying to go to this class that crushes me. I mean, I could literally wring my shirt out. When I am driving to work after going to this workout class, my outfit for work gets wet because the seatbelt is so soaked from the outfit I was wearing coming back from the workout class. I mean, that's how it's nasty, but I haven't really figured out how to, other than not wearing my seatbelt. My mom doesn't like it when I do that. So, but I put myself through intense pain. And those of you who enjoy working out know this. And yet, I get like this morning. I went this morning. I worked out from 10 to 11 o'clock, raced home, showered, and raced here. Why? Because I love it. But it's so painful. It's so uncomfortable. But I've learned to love the discomfort because I love the fruit of what happens. I have energy. My blood pressure, my heart rate, all of that. I've got great like blood work. I feel good, stress relief. I mean, there's so many factors to it. I just learned to almost kind of get addicted to it. Now, that principle around working out is easy to see, right? It's hard. It's not fun. That applies to every area of life. Do you understand? If you want to have a good relationship, you're going to have to get uncomfortable. If you want your finances to come into line, let me just take a sidestep. I'm on this kick. It's been several years now, but I'm so, how do I say this graciously? I am tired of just our Christian paradigms that really are worthless, that help nothing but just reinforce kind of a powerless gospel, a powerless God. And part of that is an over-spiritualization of things that the scripture says. So what Peter said today, for instance, around tithing, 100% accurate, 100% true, right? Tithing releases the windows of heaven. It's Malachi, it's a scripture, it's true. But let me promise you something. You can tithe until you're blue in the face and wallet and everything else. If you're not making yourself uncomfortable as it relates to choosing not to spend money on something you don't have the money for, choosing to save when you really would rather spend, choosing to make a purchase that's actually, you're not going to get the nicer whatever it is, you're going to get the less because you don't have the money. Until you start being uncomfortable and making basic decisions, you can tithe all day long, and guess what's not going to happen? The windows of heaven, you're going to keep wondering why they're not opening up. If you have a business like I have, and you pray all the time, and you've been giving, and you've been tithing your whole life. Since I was 13, I've been tithing. But you're not making yourself uncomfortable by, and there's 1,000 ways I could tell you to make yourself uncomfortable in your workplace, but by working hard, like working really hard. If you're not willing to work really hard at your job, if you're not willing to take the responsibilities that are being given to you by your boss and just crush them, not just kind of, no, crush them, then tithe and keep tithing, and you're going to, and I'm not saying there's not going to be some blessing, but you're going to take that funnel that's supposed to be the size of Niagara Falls and crank it down to a little faucet that comes out of your sink. You're still going to get some drops, and you're going to be like, okay, but God has so much more, but we're so afraid of being uncomfortable, of whether it's working hard or working out hard, or there's so many things, so I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me give you a couple scriptures just to kind of unpack what I'm saying is a different way of seeing life and a different paradigm for the kingdom. And when I say kingdom, I mean just life. Kingdom and life are synonymous, or at least should be, for those of us who are following Jesus. So two verses, Acts 14:22 and Matthew 7:13-14. Acts 14:22 says this, strengthening the disciples. So this is kind of the early church days. All kinds of stuff's happening. It's crazy. It's all kinds of great stuff and hard stuff and weird stuff and wonderful stuff all mixed together. And it says, so you had these, you know, awesome men gathering the early disciples together. And it doesn't say much of what they taught them, but it does say this, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. In quotes, it says, this is literally what they were saying to them. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. That word hardship is the same word in the Greek that several other scriptures I'm going to show you, but the word hardship literally means pressure. So let me just be really clear. I'm not advocating that we are looking for trials and, you know, death and, you know, disease and, oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying life in general, guess what? Is difficult, right? Paying your taxes is hard. Getting up early to go to work is hard. Having a good relationship with your wife or your family or your children, being a parent is hard. Going to school and getting good grades is hard, right? I mean, everything I could list out, it's all very difficult. But if you adjust your perspective and say, that's the way it is, so I've got this guy who works with me at my company. His name is Ronnie. Some of you know him. His classic line is, and he says it at least once a day, no joke, life is easy. Life is easy, my friend. And piece of cake, life is easy. He's from Iraq, so I'm giving you the accent, I guess, not meaning to. But life is easy, and I love it, because here's his perspective. He's not saying there's not difficulty. Understand, he grew up in Iraq, was shot by the Al-Qaeda. His back was broken. He died, had a visitation from Jesus. I mean, his life is crazy. But he understands that in God, when you're connected to God, it doesn't matter what the problem is. For instance, we throw him at the hardest problems in our company. If we have something that, so we have a guy who works with iron and steel, and he's been doing, he's like literally 75 and still working with steel and welding and all this. He's been working with steel for 50 plus years. Ronnie's like 38 years old. So he's half of his age, and he's worked with metal here and there. This guy could not fix, we're doing, actually right here at this building, one of the penthouses, we're doing this crazy stairwell. That's like a geometric like anomaly. It's like, it's crazy. And we're trying to build it. The guy couldn't figure it out. Who are we going to throw at it? Ronnie. Guess what he says about it? It's easy. He doesn't have a clue how he's going to do it. But it's a mindset. It's an understanding. And so what he does, and here watch me, watch my physical posture. Ronnie's posture in life is this. He's leaning in to everything that comes down the pipe. It doesn't matter what it is because he's leaning in. And if you know, like for instance, if you take football, and I'm watching my son in football and they do tackling, if you're not leaning in when someone's coming at you, you are going to get your clock cleaned, right? It doesn't matter if you're bigger than the guy coming at you. So let's translate it into life. If you're leaning in, the smallest problems, if you're not leaning in, you're kind of on your heels, are going to knock you on your rear. But if you're leaning in, you can hit big problems. And then what you start doing is you drive with your feet. And I don't want to keep going with that analogy. But the point is, Ronnie, to use him as my example, he's leaning into everything, and I love it. And you know who I love being around? Ronnie. Because nothing's too difficult. Nothing's too hard. Because his expectation is, of course, things are difficult. That is life. And so he's gotten past the, oh God, why is life so hard? And I hesitated. I thought about this several times. I'm like, you know, I'm just going to say it. So if I were to compare the last 7 years of my life through 2014, 2015 has been a different story. If I were to compare notes, my life and your life, the last 7 years, 2007, 2014, we're going to be, if you've had a really hard life, then we'll probably be neck and neck. But I've had, you know, a lot of doozies. Back to back, just wham. I've had my teeth kicked in, you know, repeatedly. Had to go to the dentist, not literally, but it's felt like that. And what I want to say to you is that I'm well. I've been well. And it's not because there's anything about me. There are things that we can do that have nothing to do with the circumstances coming against us or the situations around us. It has everything to do with our insides. And if we have an understanding that the early disciples said, you will enter the kingdom of God through many hardships, therefore do not be discouraged. Don't be surprised when there's pressure upon you, because that is the way life is. Not just life, but the kingdom of God. I mean, they're saying the kingdom of God is going to happen and you're going to enter into it through many hardships. Jesus said something similar. The kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent, the strong, the mighty, the leaning in. And you don't have to be like masculine and all that. No, you can be incredibly feminine and have your own way of leaning in. This isn't, I don't want to make this a machismo kind of, you got to be, you know, anyways. This applies to everybody. So Jesus in Matthew 7, listen to what he says. And remember, don't translate this to being very limited understanding of what he's saying here. I'll unpack that here shortly. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy or comfortable that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. Why? Because it's the easy path. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Let me just tell you, this is going to shock you. You know what he's not talking about here? Coming to a relationship with Jesus and being born again. That's not his reference. That's not even the context. Do you know what the context is? He's talking about a bunch of crazy stuff that's super hard to do. It's all the Beatitudes, if you're familiar with those. It's all the crazy stuff. Like if someone treats you poorly, if someone curses you and attacks you, bless them. Don't judge, lest you be, I mean, all of this stuff, right? He's listing all this stuff out. And then right in the middle, pop, he says, narrow and difficult. Guess what? Guess what that word is? The same word in Acts 14 that the early disciples were being taught, pressure. What if we learned to embrace pressure? What if we learned, and this is a Brad phrase, and I like it, you know, good soil. Whenever things are hard, I hear him say that. It's good soil. And that's the right picture. When things are hard, and guess what? Things are always hard, always. You might have a great job making good money, but your children are a mess. Your children might be great, but your job's a mess. Your house might be beautiful, but your car is breaking down. I mean, there's always stuff. This morning, I was laughing. So I'm racing, right? Because I just got done working out, raced home, showered, got my little eggs, my water, and filled it all the way up. I was super thirsty. So I had this big glass of water, and it was filled all the way up. And I was like, oh, I got to grab my foam roller. So I ran over to my little couch, not my couch, my foam roller was leaning over. So I leaned over to get my foam roller and just poured all over my couch next to my Bible. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I grabbed this. I ran to the door. The door was closed. Did it again, leaned over to get the door, water poured onto the carpet. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I open the door. I've got my eggs in my hand, right, because I'm going to eat it on the way here because I'm going to be efficient. So I open the door, step out on my porch, and then my foam roller hits the back of the door and hits my plate, and my spoon and half my eggs fall on the ground, and I just start laughing. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I pick it up, get in the car, and drive here, and I just started thinking, that's a small, stupid example of you could be angry and upset when those kind of things happen, because they happen to all of us every single day. Or you can laugh. You can just say, oh well, right? I just want to tell you, that's a silly little dumb thing, but it's so real. And this is where our faith is worked out. Our faith isn't worked out. You know, sometimes we have the mountaintop experiences. Sometimes we have those breakthroughs. And let me tell you, this is back to my whole Christian paradigms that mess us up. We're all looking for the breakthroughs. And let me tell you, I'll take a breakthrough, Lord, right now. Give me a breakthrough right now. I am all for the breakthrough. But guess what? You look through scripture, you look through history. And breakthroughs happen, absolutely. But if we live in a breakthrough mentality, we're actually going to find ourselves not actually being good disciples. Because discipleship is the hard work of waking up in the morning, doing what you need to do to be a good man, a good husband, a good father, a good wife, a good worker, a good servant, a good carer of the lonely, whoever. That's what it's about. And here and there, breakthroughs come in. And so I fast. I believe in fasting. I fast and I'm calling out for a breakthrough. But guess what? I got to show up to my work. I've got to deal with clients that are crazy and asking me ridiculous things and deal with them. And I can pray in the spirit and I can fast and I can pray and I can declare the word, which I do every single day. So it's not, I'm not saying one or the other, but I'm saying we've got to have a basic understanding that pressure, that crazy client, praise God for that crazy client. Because what it is, it's the pressure cooker. Your crazy boss, praise God for that crazy boss, because guess what? It's bringing up all that immaturity in you. And then you just say, Jesus, oh, I'm so immature. I'm so immature. Every time my boss walks in and doesn't say hi to me, I'm hurt. Oh my gosh. God, help me get healed, because that's what it is. You want to know how easy it is to be emotionally mature? It's one of the most difficult things on the entire planet. In fact, there are very bright people who say you really can't grow that much. I mean, truly bright people who've dedicated their entire lives to this, who say you pretty much are set at around 10 to 14, your emotional maturity. Meaning based upon what happened when you were a child. I don't believe in all that, but none of you believe that, but here's my point. What they've recognized is it's so hard to change in the core of who we are. It requires so much intensity. It requires so much pressure. And many of us would rather just tip it back because it's so much easier. It's so much more comfortable. We would so much rather just click, kick the foot up, and just watch someone else live their life. And vicariously, we experience something that does make us feel somewhat alive. But it actually doesn't produce real life. So Matthew 7, again, let me read it again. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. This is a principle of life. Those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. If we can just change the way we see life, we can change the way we see all of our circumstances, and we can begin reframing it and saying, I'm going to start getting more comfortable with being uncomfortable. And then that's going to turn into actually like being uncomfortable, because I know that this discomfort in this situation is going to produce something good. So let me give you a real example. On Friday, you know, there's a lot going on in my business. It's growing fast. It's really exciting. But there's also pressure involved with blessing. Oh, wow. I thought blessing was just I could kick. No. Blessing. There's pressure with blessing. So I'm a little pressure. I'm a little tense. I'm a little too intense. I'm an intense guy, but I was a little too intense this morning. And I had my estimator. I had several guys, and they're all there, and we're talking. And the one guy, he can be kind of obstinate, and just in a funny way, and it's usually funny, but that morning wasn't funny to me. And I lit into him, not in a terrible way, but I was just like, and one of my other guys, actually Ronnie, so you already know context, Ronnie says, my friend, you're wrong here. I was like, what? He's like, you're wrong, you're misunderstanding, you're too intense. I looked at Isaac as the name of the individual, and it didn't feel very good. I was intense, and I was thinking, but I knew he was right. And I didn't want to, but I was like, right here, I'm just going to apologize. Why? Because I just learned in that little area. There's other areas I haven't learned, but in that area I've learned I'm going to embrace the pain. I went over and said, Isaac, I'm sorry. He said, you don't need to say sorry. I said, I know, but I'm sorry. I gave him a kiss on the head just because it messes with him. When Ronnie always kisses him, he doesn't like it, so I kissed him on the head. And it was interesting. I found him the rest of the day. I could just tell he was closer. He didn't need me to apologize to him. And I'm the boss. I don't need to apologize to anybody, right? No. There's 1,000 of those examples that when we realize if we lean into the discomfort, that's an uncomfortable setting, right? When you have to say sorry to somebody, it's not comfortable. Nobody likes saying sorry, but you can learn to start saying sorry, right? That's just a... So you can't think about this whole principle enough, because so many things in life are difficult that you have to start seeing it as a blessing and not a curse. You have to start saying to yourself, I'm going to lean into this. I'm not going to lean away from it. Now, what I want us to start thinking about, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to go through a little bit of an inventory, because what I would say is every one of us in here are comfort seekers. And we are way more comfortable in our life than we realize. And we have way more areas in our life that we're stuck, stagnant, or maybe even way, way, way even below that. But we're not really keyed in, because unlike our cars that have like the dashboard, we just kind of, we're just cruising through life. And people, how you doing? I'm good. I'm fine. You just kind of cruise through. We have no dashboard, no indicator lights, and we're just, man, pedal to the metal, and we retire and die, right? I mean, that's kind of like the mode. It's just like, boom, keep going, go, 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 fast, 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 we're busy, busy, busy. Da, da, da. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some dashboard lights, just momentarily, and I'm going to ask you to evaluate. I'm going to ask you some questions, maybe 6 or 7 different areas. I'm going to do it relatively quick, and what I want you to do is just give yourself a 1 if, like, it is awful. I mean, you couldn't imagine it being any worse. A 10, it's incredible. You couldn't imagine it being any better. And obviously a 5 is somewhere in between. Does that make sense? So I'm going to ask you a question about a particular area. I'm going to kind of give you the range. I'm going to describe the range. And you just give yourself a number. And either just put it in your head, got notes. How are you doing financially? A 1 is you are worried about it all the time. You're living over your means. You're in debt over your head, right? That's a 1, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A 10 is you're able to pay for all your needs are taken care of, and you're incredibly sacrificial in giving. I mean, you're giving a lot, and you're taking care of, and you don't worry about it. There is order. That's a 10. So give yourself a number. How are you doing living a pure and righteous life? And that obviously can be defined in so many ways. But just the purity of your thoughts, the purity of your actions. A 1 is, I'm not going to go into 1 or 10. Just give yourself a... Third, how is your diet? How well are you taking care of your body? Meaning, are you putting things that your body is screaming at? and hating you for? That'd be on the one side. On the 10 is you're going out into the fields and cutting organic leaves and that you eat it straight from there, something to that effect. I mean, that's obviously I'm being silly, but so your diet, how are you, you know, we don't realize how powerful what we put in our bodies is and how it's uncomfortable often to put good stuff and choose not to put bad stuff. How are your closest relationships? Your closest relationships, your if you're married, your spouse, your friends, your parents, if they're alive, your children, your close friends, but how are your, and think about, don't just think about one, because sometimes we're real safe and we think, no, but think about three or four, like how are they? A one being, you're not even sure if you have any close relationships. And what I mean by close is people that you're laughing with and crying with. People that know your greatest struggles and your biggest dreams. One is you can't mention, there is nobody. You're separate, you're alone. 10 is you're surrounded by a life-giving group of family and friends who know you and you know them. You pray together, you laugh together, you're doing life together. 1 through 10. How close do you feel to God on a daily basis? 1 to 10. 1, you're struggling to even believe in God. Your heart has been so hurt, life has been so hard, that you're just wondering if God is even real, or if he is, does he even care about you? That'd be a 1. 10 is you are present to God throughout the day. You're present to his presence, you're aware of his sweet voice, you're connected to his word, it's rich, it's your heart is stirred, you have a longing to follow him more than you ever have. That's a 10. And just 2 more. How whole is your soul? Back to that emotional maturity side. A 1 is, you know, you have no peace. You wake up anxious, you go to bed anxious. You're at work, you're at through your day, you're stressed, you're full of anxiety. There's no joy in terms of smiling. You're super tense and everything's hard, and that's a 1. A 10 is there's a smile on your face consistently. There's peace in your heart. When people are really offensive, you don't get offended. When people treat you wrong, you're able to bless in return. How whole is your soul? 1 to 10. And then finally, what kind of difference are you making in the lives of others? So a 1 is if you died suddenly, people would not really notice from the standpoint of the difference you're making really wouldn't make a difference or wouldn't change. Your death would not change people's lives in a radical way. Whereas a 10, you know, people's lives would be radically altered because of the assistance and help and love and grace and healing that you're bringing. So there you go. 1 to 10, I think every one of us is leaning more towards the higher end on some of those, and every one of us is leaning more towards the lower end on some of those. And what I would say is there's a direct correlation between your comfort zones and that score. If you're riding in comfort, your comfort zone, you're going to be lower on that scale because you've just found, you've settled, you've decided, you know what? I've been hurt too much in these relationships. I'm distancing and I'm going to find that comfort zone that I have kind of 1 to 2 people that I kind of know and they kind of know me. So my score is about a 4. And that's all I'm going to do because I'm unwilling to lean in to being uncomfortable by sharing my heart and maybe possibly getting hurt and rejected again or whatever it may be. We've chosen comfort over discomfort because we've been hurt, we've been let down by, we think, God, and definitely by others. And so we've, in many of these areas, we've chosen the path of comfort. And what I want to challenge us to do is to begin leaning in again and saying, I'm going to intentionally make myself uncomfortable in maybe just 1 of those areas that I mentioned, just 1. I'm going to intentionally start leaning into the conversations that I don't want to have with the people that I love because I know it's going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to lean in because that's the path of life. Narrow and difficult is the path of life. And so I'm going to have the conversation with my dad. I'm going to have the conversation with my spouse. I'm going to step up at work, even though all I want to do is go to the next job. I'm going to lean in here. I'm going to wrap with this classic verse. We all know it. James 1, 2, and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. He's saying what I just said much better and more eloquently. What he's simply saying is, do you want to be mature? Do you want to be complete? Do you want to be full and rich? Not necessarily financially, but it's rich. This life is, oh, that's what maturity is. That's what completeness is. So go to the end of the verse. That's what he's saying. You will be mature and complete and not lack anything. News alert, that's what every single one of us in this room desires. He just described it. Now you could say, I want a bunch of money. I want a nice car. But none of that's bad, but that's not what you want. What you want is to not lack anything. You want to be mature, and you want to have that sense that all is well. That's complete. The beauty of that place is it has nothing to do with your circumstances or the people around you, because you can't control those. I'm all about faith. I'm all about declaration. I'm all about calling things into existence. I do it every day. But guess what? Each and every day, I'm still responsible for what's going on the inside, how I react, how I feel. So according to James, if I want to be mature and complete, not like anything, I have to consider, which means to think deeply about the thing that I'm encountering that feels like a really difficult trial. And guess what trial is? It's that same word, testing. It's that same word, pressure. It's pressure. So what I want you to do, I want you to respond to James's call. Consider it pure joy. Consider the thing that you're in, the relationship, the hardship, whatever it is, your own inner workings and your own soul and your own mess inside, you're getting triggered all the time. Whatever it is, your job, your finances, your purity of your mind, and consider it joy that you're encountering that pressure. Because that pressure, if you will persevere, meaning keep leaning in. That's all it means. God, I invite you into this. God, I invite you. There's some things for me I've been working on for years, and I get marginal growth, but I've been working on them literally. This one specific thing, which is basically just being comfortable in my own skin and whatever setting I'm in, that's taken years for me. And I moved to a new neighborhood. God called me to Upper Arlington. I moved there. And I was like, okay, God called me here, I'm here. Well, Upper Arlington, if any of you know Upper Arlington, there's a lot of like successful, a lot of families that are all together and kids, and it's like the beautiful movie, right? And so I found myself feeling so insecure in that setting so often. Two options. Pull back, stay in my little apartment, not go to the events, not go to the sports events, not go to the open houses at the school, right? Because it's easier just to click the TV and tip back the beer, right? That's a lot easier. But I understand the principle that pressure, persevering in the middle of the pressure, whatever it is for me, it's this new neighborhood and feeling insecure about myself, and I'm not married, and I've got kids, and what do they think about me, and I'm divorced, and I got this, and I got that, and I'm not rich like you, and I'm not, all this stuff. I feel weird and awkward, and I don't belong, and I leave feeling depressed, and all that kind of stuff. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, touch my heart. I went to an open, and this has been ongoing. Went to an open house last week, and I was walking around, and I wasn't aware of, guess what? Myself. I was just walking around and just waving to people and talking and engaging, and it was awesome. And it was one of those like, oh, you get those sometimes, right? You work and you work, and like, am I getting anywhere? Keep leaning in. Keep saying, I'm going to get comfortable And then eventually I'm going to learn to love being uncomfortable. I'm going to say no to comfort. And there's some setting, and sometimes, I mean, comfort isn't all bad, but generally speaking, lean towards what's uncomfortable and find yourself growing and changing, maturing. And someday in that area, or that little thing you used to say was a 2, you're going to say it's an 8. You're going to say, all is well with my soul. Let me end with this statement. I can promise you this. If you're not willing to lean into the pressure, if you're not willing to live in the pressure, you will not ever, ever be able to say, all is well with my soul. But if you're willing to embrace the tension, embrace the pain, embrace the discomfort, reach out to brothers and sisters, have them pray for you, be in the scripture on a daily basis, be praying, God, heal me, God, strengthen me, God, give me grace. You will see victory in every single area of your life. The word is very clear. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your truth and the principles of your kingdom that are beautiful, that set us free. And Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name that each of us in this room would find just kind of the heaviness that's been upon us in certain areas, either because we're stuck and we feel condemned, or we've settled and we're just feeling hopeless. God, lift it off. Amen. Lift it off of us and help us to see that the discomfort is actually a good place. The pressure is a good thing. I pray for one thing in every person's life here, one area, to have the courage to lean into the discomfort, to have the courage to embrace the pressure and allow God to have his work in the middle of the pressure. I pray blessing on each of you in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want prayer, come on up here. There'll be a few folks up. If you just want someone to pray for you in an area that you're feeling pressure, and you just want someone to pray grace that you would stay in it and not pop out, come on up and get prayer. Have a great Sunday.